who love him and believe in him back to heaven to live with him forever. And then when we're with God and Jesus in heaven, there's no need to be afraid ever again. So even though we don't have to worry about our rulers trying to punish us for being a Christian, maybe sometimes we're afraid about other stuff. Whenever we're afraid, we need to always try to remember that one day Jesus is going to come back for all of us who love him, and then we will live with him forever. That is fantastic news. Let's stand and have our prayer. Jesus, thank you so much that you gave us a message of hope, even though a long time ago some of that was written in secret code. Thank you that one day we get to go to heaven to be with you because we believe in you and because we love you. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Okay. Sorry. Didn't mean to do that.
I've done, afraid my shame would be exposed, afraid of really being known. But then you gave my heart a home, so I walked out of the darkness and into the light, from fear of shame into the hope of life. Mercy called my name and made a way to fly.
just so that he doesn't get into bad habits, he leans over to me and he says, "Are you going to get up and dance now?" That'll teach you for saying something, make me laugh at something. We're doing the book of Revelation. There's no laughing here. but there is. The book of Revelation is not to be feared. It is apocalyptic literature. And we'll talk about that in a minute or two. But it is primarily the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. In some ways, the book of Revelation is most closely akin to the Gospels, that it is an extension of the Gospels in the hope and desire of helping us to see and understand the person and the work and the efficacy of Jesus Christ. And so we find ourselves today in the fifth chapter of Revelation, and I'm going to start us up a little higher. I'm going to start us at verse 9. I know I had 11 in the bulletin, but I want to back you up a couple of verses. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. I think we do have this funny mindset about the book of Revelation. I think that we have this idea that the book of Revelation is all about the end of time, that it is about some great apocalyptic event that will signify the end of the world as we know it. And we get this image in our minds, and the last thing that any of us want to sit around and think about is the end of the world. I mean, can you think of anything less appealing than sitting around and thinking of everything that as we know it ending today or tomorrow or the next day? But this isn't a book about the end of the world. This is a book about the person of Jesus Christ and his significance for all of us. It is apocalyptic literature, but we need to understand what apocalyptic literature is. It is not about destruction. It's about opening up, making things known that were once hidden or unknown. When we went through the flood up in Conklin in 2006, it was a devastating, devastating occurrence in that community. About 60% of the homes were either severely damaged or destroyed because of the flood. People's lives were picked up and changed on that day. And a lot of bad things happened. I'm not going to minimize the bad things that happened in that flood. But what also happened is it opened up our eyes to a lot of things that had previously been hidden or unknown or unappreciated. It did reveal a lot of needs within the community, because one of the things that the flood revealed to us was a lot of poverty that we had not noticed or seen before, and the flood revealed that poverty. But the flood also revealed goodness and love and generosity. Because even those people whose homes were damaged by the flood chipped in with their time and their energy to help their neighbors. And in our little church up there itself, we served in the course of about 6 weeks over 20,000 meals to people who had gone through the flood. We helped muck out about 300 houses. We helped to provide supplies and so on. And we were just one of several bodies that were helping out there. And so what the flood did was it uncovered a goodness in that community that maybe we'd never had noticed before. It uncovered some kindness and generosity that we maybe did not realize was there all along. Well, so it is with the book of Revelation. And so it is with apocalyptic literature, because it reveals for us that which was always true, but now is being made known to us. And it does show the dark side, but it shows the good side as well. It shows that the death of Jesus Christ was paramount, that it was at the very center of our understanding of who God is and our very understanding of who Jesus Christ is, that death upon the cross, that willingness of self-sacrifice that would go to that nth degree is center and core to our understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the book of Revelation highlights that for us. But even in that darkest hour, even in that darkest hour on that Friday so many, many years ago, it was the beginning of a revelation, of a making known of that which was always true. And that was the depth and the breadth and the height of God's love toward each and every one of us. And so the book of Revelation reminds us of Christ's atoning death upon the cross, but reminds us as well that Christ is alive and He lives forever and reigns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that when the world thought that they had won, God said, not so quick, not so quick. That Jesus is revealed to us as the one who alone is worthy of all praise, all honor, all glory forever and ever. You see, the book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature, letting us see that which was always true, but which was hidden from us. It lets us see that which was true and that we need to see clearly and well that the person of Jesus Christ is not only the atoner of our death, the atoner of our sins through His death, but He is the one who loves us and wants to live with us and reign with us as our Lord and our Savior for all eternity. It's not about death and destruction in this book of Revelation. It's about life. It's about love. It's about eternity. It's about grace. It's about forgiveness. It's about praise and honor and glory to the one who so richly deserves it. So don't be afraid of apocalyptic literature. It's there to help us to see the goodness of God, the grace of God, His love and His mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, it is a bit of a coded language. That was the generation in which they were living. But in that code, we can see the code for living our lives in the light of the love of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived for us, who died for us, who now reigns in eternity with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, forever and ever. Help us, O Lord, to have our hearts lifted up in praise and in gratitude for the mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon us, for the outpouring of your love in Jesus Christ. Help us always to be among those who sing to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I ask you if you'd be kind enough to sign the friendship pads that are in the center of each aisle so that we have a record of your presence with us today. And for any of our first-time guests, if you'd be kind enough to give us an email address or a mailing address, that would be very helpful to us and be very appreciated. Let us come before the Lord now with our tithes and our offerings. Let us do so as an act of worship and of praise, acknowledging that there is none who is higher than our God.
Where there's no song for the silent, and no harvest for the hungry, where your justice is denied, there you have called us, there you have called us, to bring your strength to the weak. And your freedom for the prisoner, to bring your peace to the fearful. There you have called us, there you have called us. Jesus, make your glory known, King of God.
Father of justice, holy.
And now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the guidance, the presence, the very comfort of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you, both this day and forevermore. Amen.